you read this to me in Matthew 11, please? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And begin to read at verse 16. Of whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil, he hath a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in dust and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have read for that last verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The passage that precedes that simple invitation from the Lord Jesus gives us some understanding of the reason why there are so many who fail to come to the Lord Jesus and have life. It is evident that the Word of God is just that, God's book, God's message, because in it there are truths that are universal. In other words, you can take this book and convey its message to men in any continent, and they have an interest in the message that is presented. You can take this book and present its message to men in any century, and its message has an appeal, has an application to all men. And for those who are in the meeting tonight, we have absolutely no question that this God's message has a relevance to you where you are at the present moment. Now, I want to speak first of all in looking at universal things in this passage. I want to think first of all of a universal desire. There is something that is in the heart of every man or woman, no matter whom they may be, no matter at what level of society or in what century they live, there is something in the heart of every one of us that is the same. There is a desire in every human heart for the rest that the Lord Jesus is speaking of. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus is not offering pie in the sky. The Lord Jesus is offering the present enjoyment of a rest beyond anything that this world knows. A rest that results from having peace with God. A rest that results from knowing that your sins are forgiven. A rest that results from knowing the constant, changeless companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ. A rest
involved because a person is absolutely sure, whatever happens in this world, I am going to be in heaven. A rest that brings this assurance with it. Somehow or other, there is a meaning to my life. I am very sure tonight that there will be some in this past to whom that must have a deep appeal. You have known something of the futility of an empty life. A life that's going nowhere. A life that takes 3 steps forward and 4 steps backward. A life that somehow or other seems to hold the faint glimmer of hope, and then all of a sudden you realize it's just an empty promise. There's nothing to live for. I can understand why men and women, when they have turned away from God, begin to wonder if there is a God. Because nothing makes sense. Could I tell you tonight that there's a Savior that is offering rest? There's a Savior that is offering to fill that heart of yours filled with joy and satisfaction. There's a Savior that is offering tonight rest for your soul, the answer to the emptiness native to the human heart. Way back in the year 1980, I was traveling on a January day from the state of Virginia to my home in Pennsylvania, and it was a snowy day. I could tell you a lot of other things that are associations in my memory of that day, but there's one thing outstanding. I turned the radio on to keep myself awake in the car, and I found a news station from Washington, D.C., and I could tell immediately that I found that news station that there was something dramatic happening. And the reports were coming over of a 737 jet that had attempted to take off in icing conditions. The plane had been iced, de-iced at least twice, but there were delays. And finally, impatient to go, Air Florida Flight 90 began to roll down the runway. But ice had formed on the wings, apparently. It lifted off from that Washington National Airport, and it just did not rise. And it finally, as it was struggling away, hit the 14th Street Bridge, and the tail section broke off, and cars were crushed beneath it, and some were killed on the bridge. People were poured out through the broken fuselage into the Potomac River. And I listened with fascination for all the hours that I could get that Washington station. And I watched as I crossed over a bridge lower on the Potomac. And I looked up and I could see helicopters flying. I just felt like I was part of a national event. I listened to the story of a stewardess who was rescued by a helicopter that had pulled her from the water. So, when some months later I was leafing through a magazine, and I came across a story entitled My Potomac, and I caught immediately that that was a story that had to do with that tragedy in Washington on the 14th of January in 1980, the crash of that Air Florida flight. I read it. It was the story of that same stewardess. It was the story of how that same stewardess had been saved while she was in the hospital. Saved for eternity. How she had received rest through faith in the Lord Jesus. I read it with deep interest. And at the conclusion of the article, there are words that I want to just leave with you tonight. A stewardess who had had really a successful life and an enjoyable life. She lived the way she wanted to. She was rising through the ranks of her profession from a small airline now to Air Florida, and she was doing well, enjoying life. But she said about coming to know the Lord Jesus, I now have a joy that I never knew before. No longer is it a struggle to be happy anymore. Did I tell you tonight that that's what God's salvation is? That's what we're preaching in the tent tonight. No matter to whom the message comes, it has this appeal. There is rest that the Lord Jesus is offering. to those that know the emptiness of a futile life, that he is as well offering a blessing to those who know the fear of eternal death. And I can tell you tonight that that's just something that is native to every human heart. I don't want you to think tonight, if you have felt that the preaching may be strong, whether in the first part or the second part of the meeting, I don't want you to think that we are in any measure aiming to play upon the fears of the human heart. I want to tell you tonight that we are dealing with what is there. We are interested in your facing what is there. And we are interested tonight because we have an answer. The only answer from God himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there a soul in the tent tonight who thinks about dying and fear begins to creep over your soul? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it's going to mean. Could it be possible that my soul, after all, is going to experience abandonment from God? Oh, tonight, my friend, you could put your head on your pillow and go to sleep tonight with a rest you have never known before. Well, I just can't say that without my mind going back to the 16th of April, 1951. That was the night when I was saved. The greatest day of my life. And I have had many happy days. And I will never forget, after I had told my parents I was saved, called a few people to tell them I was saved, and I went on my way off to bed. And just before sleep came rolling over me, I thought to myself, can this be true? If I don't wake up in the morning, I will be in heaven. I can tell you there were many nights on the same pillow I had said to myself, if I don't wake up in the morning, it will be hell for me. My friend, tonight there is rest. Christ. But I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus is speaking in the passage about a universal difficulty. Because this is something that's common to all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The world over, men and women are laboring to have this rest. I read with interest the account of missionaries in India who told the story of four women. There was a brown flag raised beside them as they walked down the road. And they were walking on a pilgrimage. And the brown flag was to warn people, these women are on a pilgrimage. The many miles that they were traveling to the temple of their goddess, that they might have acceptance with their goddess. But what the missionaries were amazed at was, after they noticed the four on the brown flag, there was a red flag. And wrapped up beside them was another woman, rolling down the road to the temple of her goddess, rolling all those miles that somehow she might obtain favor with deity. I read a release from the Associated Press just around Easter time in April of last year, 1990. It told the story of Filipinos who were observing Maundy Thursday before Easter. And they walked on hot coals. And they lashed themselves with glass-beaded scourging. And a number from the company were themselves being impaled upon a cross. Why? That somehow they might obtain redemption from God. You say, but that's so far away. Yes, but you watch the people going on a Sunday morning, and they're going with the very same thing in their mind. Watch them as they're making their way early on a Thursday morning into the place to pray before they go off to work. Watch them as they're going about all kinds of things. Every time someone knocks at the door and says, listen, I'm collecting for the heart fund. Good thing to give for. But there are people reaching in their pocket because they would not want in any way to endanger their standing before God if they fail to give to the right cause. Working, laboring, heavy laden, never sure that they've done enough, hoping that perhaps this will be favorable to God. And if that wasn't good enough, maybe God will look upon this. And there are some in the gospel meeting tonight, and you understand that what we have sung tonight, that it's not by works that sin is put away, but by the blood. And yet this evening you are laboring and heavy laden, struggling to figure out, what does God want from me anyway? What can I give to God in order to have this great gift of salvation? But you've overlooked the great truth. To laboring and heavy laden men and women, he says, cease the laboring. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For those who are trying some way to gain acceptance with God, the Lord Jesus is offering tonight a gift of God. The gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to pay. I may be this evening enjoying the privilege of telling some person in this gathering something that you have never known before. Let me tell you plainly. Let me emphasize to you, it is not the word of two men that stands behind this truth. I want to tell you tonight that God is telling you from His Word. There is no work that you need to do in order to be in heaven. There is nothing good enough that you can ever offer to God that will merit His favor. God is offering salvation free. The Savior is extending an invitation now. And you could come to the Lord Jesus tonight and have rest tonight. Not asking for a penny from you. Not asking for the breathing of a prayer. Not asking for some resolution, some determination to do something better. Not asking tonight if you will be baptized. You know, we preach night after night. Really, an object of our gospel preaching is to simply declare the positive truth of the gospel. But if there should be anyone in the tent tonight who misunderstands, let me tell you, we are declaring that it would be absolutely wrong to believe that a man needs to be baptized in order to be saved. It would be absolutely contrary to the Word of God to teach that a man needs to belong to a certain congregation in order to be saved. It would be absolutely wrong to add anything to the finished work of Christ. Salvation is by faith in Christ alone. And there is nothing else that heaven requires for the laboring and the heavy laden in the gospel meeting tonight. I want to have you notice, though, a universal danger. The Lord Jesus says, and with what strong words he speaks, here is Capernaum. Now he was born, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He did make visits to Jerusalem. His home for the greater part of his life was in Nazareth. But when he began to minister publicly and do miracles, he lived in Capernaum. And I think you will find likely that the greatest part of his miracles were performed. The greatest part was performed in Capernaum. As far as these were the people who were nearest to him. These were the people that were most highly privileged. And there was, the Lord Jesus says, a danger for them. They repented not. The danger for these men and women would be this. They would fail to submit to the truth of the Word of God. And as we preach the gospel tonight, we are asking you to submit to what God says. We are asking you as messengers, but the message that we are preaching is a command from God Himself. Remember the words of Paul the Apostle when he was preaching? God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Please do not misunderstand. It's not God now commandeth all the wicked people who are doing terrible things in this world to repent. Oh yeah, the message of heaven to the drug addict, the message of heaven to the immoral woman of the street, the message of heaven to the man who cannot shake the habit of drink, the message from heaven is, repent. And the message from heaven for the good churchgoer, and the message from heaven for the moral upright neighbor is, repent, for God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Heaven is urging tonight that you submit to the word of God, because God levels all men no matter whether we say from the gutter or from the highest ranks of society. God speaks of all the sinners, and God wants you tonight to recognize your sin and bow to what God says. God says, I am a sinner. God says, my sins will shut me from heaven. And God says that there is absolutely nothing good that I can do to gain the favor of the Almighty. Repent. Turn to what God says. It says, the Lord Jesus, of these that repented not, thou art exalted to heaven. Thou shalt be brought down to hell. You have no doubt seen the national magazine. It strikes me as strange that all a man has to do who is a cartoonist to get paid whatever big money he has paid for cartoons in a national magazine is to somehow or other paint a strange figure and let him carry a sign through the street that says, repent or perish. And there is supposed to be humor in that. So old-fashioned. So out of date. So irrelevant. Humor. I want you to know there is not the slightest note of humor in what I am saying tonight from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Repent or perish. God speaks in terms of an ultimatum. Well, there's an invitation tonight to eternal blessing, but there is an ultimatum from heaven. Turn, said the old preachers. Turn or burn. Bow to submit to the word of God. Or go on in your own way to suffer the wrath of God. No other choice. My friend, tonight I would not be kind to you. To let you just drift along as you are. Our interest is to upset you on the way to eternal night. Our interest is to stop you on the way to eternal ruin. My friend, tonight, bow to what God says. Recognize the guilt of your sins. Turn tonight. Because before you on the road, there lies the reality of the wrath of God for eternity. Mr. Higgins made mention on a night before of a very similar thing to what I noted in the newspaper at a different bridge in a different state of the U.S., In fact, I was driving by the area of this just after it took place and was tied up in traffic for hours. But there were two people who were traveling to a wedding in the state of Maine. They came from the South Texas area. They stopped to watch the New York Yankees in New York City, and they began north in the evening up through 95, U.S. 95, on their way north to Maine. There was a truck in front of them that suddenly put on the brake and began to swerve, and the man holding the wheel and pushing his foot to the floor on the brake pedal thought to himself, this is it, I'm going to hit the back of this truck, and all of a sudden the truck disappears. And he slammed his car to a stop just on the precipice of the edge of that bridge. The whole section had fallen out on I-95 north over the Miami River. He and the woman with him understood the danger, and they each went from either side of the car out to the side of the road, left their car there, and began running back down the road to wave people aside. That young man said, "I will never forget what happened next. I began to wave to a car to slow him down, but it was a BMW. And as he came up along the road, he was obviously irritated that someone was trying probably to stop him to get help. And he hit the gas pedal, and he swerved out around me. And just as he got past me, he saw the danger himself, and he slammed on the brakes. And he went over. And he said the two people lost their lives. I couldn't stop it. My friend, tonight it is our interest to stop you. In God's name, realize this. You are going on to meet the result of your sins. Turn tonight, turn from your sins." There is in the story that the Lord Jesus, or the passage that the Lord Jesus is giving us, a universal decree. And it applies in 1991 as much as it applied when the Lord Jesus spoke it. Very simply, I can tell you this, that those who will enjoy eternal blessing from God will not have it because of privilege. Here are some who have privilege exalted to heaven. They pass down to hell. As I look over this gathering tonight, there are some who have attended these meetings knowing that they are not saved and knowing that they need to be saved. And it may be in the back of their mind there is, after all, a real interest in being saved. And there are other people attending these gospel meetings who have very seldom, if ever, heard what it means to be saved. Some of them are trusting Christ, thank God. Some of them are anxious to have God's salvation, thank God. And those that are exalted to heaven with privilege are coming and going night after night, and they may leave these meetings and the meetings close if the Lord hasn't come. Still outside of Christ, they go on to eternal night. Privilege will not guarantee salvation. But the Lord Jesus as well said these things are hid from the wise and prudent. This is not the kind of thing that men and women will figure out by their own intelligence. You will never figure out how to have this great blessing. The Lord Jesus is saying this greatest of all blessings is not available to those who have some way of figuring it out. Just as simply as salvation has been presented to us tonight as a door, wide open, and you may step in. Could I tell you tonight that the Savior says to you, don't try to figure out salvation. Don't try to labor and work your way into salvation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, this from the Lord Jesus is a universal deliverance for every soul. All you that labor and are heavy laden, there is deliverance for every soul in this gospel meeting tonight. Why, it thrills me to be able to address a gathering like this and to tell you, without ever having known anything about you, to be able to tell you tonight, you can leave this tent with rest, with peace, with salvation. You can leave this tent sure of heaven. The Lord Jesus has said it, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, the reason of salvation that the Lord Jesus is giving is simply this. This one who is inviting you tonight is the very same one who went to Calvary to pay for sin. He is able to give rest because at Calvary he bared his heart to the storm, and the storm has fallen upon Christ. The storm is past, and for me there is rest because he bore the storm in my place. Tonight, dear friend, there is forgiveness because that one went to Calvary and he was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Every blessing that God has for you tonight has been purchased by precious blood at Calvary. The reason there's nothing for you to do is because the Lord Jesus has done all that God requires. The reason there is nothing for you to figure out is because God has made His salvation available on the simplest of terms. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could I tell you tonight that in this wonderful and simple invitation of the Lord Jesus, I learned something about the responsibility of salvation. You say, are you going to tell me that it's my responsibility to come? Well, yes, it is your responsibility to come. But please don't make that something very difficult. That was one of the first things you learned as a child, to come. When you were invited, when someone extended their arms to you, it really came down to being a matter of trust. You could just trust their invitation, that if you would venture out toward them, they would be as good as their word. You wouldn't have thought, you wouldn't do this yourself, either, surely. I might tease children, but I don't think I would do this. To have a little toddler and tenderly invite him and say, come now, come. And then when he comes, let him drop. The child might not have very much ability to come, but just let him move. Just let him respond to the word. What I want to tell you tonight is that the Lord Jesus is saying the responsibility of salvation is mine. Not only am I telling you tonight that He went to the cross to purchase salvation, to offer it to you freely, but I am telling you in His own words tonight, if you come, He'll take all the responsibility for saving you. If you come tonight, He'll take all the responsibility for giving you rest. You see, His word is so simple. Come unto me. You just come. Make the Lord Jesus your direction tonight. Come to Him tonight. And He will undertake for the salvation. That's His business. And oh, tonight, if you would just take Him at His word, you would find Him to be true to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the simplicity and urgency of the message of the Lord Jesus. We would only have to confess in Thy presence that we have neither been able to capture the sense of urgency that this message deserves, nor to present it with the simplicity that the Lord Jesus did as He spoke. But we ask beyond our words, despite our words, that Thou wilt use the word of the living Savior. Grant there may be some tonight who will strive to enter in. O God, to think of the possibility that from our meeting tonight, some may turn away and not realize they will never be drawn to the door again. We pray that Thou wilt grant Thy blessing then, that souls in this meeting might be stirred and moved by the mighty power of God, that there may be some tonight who will come to the Lord Jesus. We ask Thy blessing, committing Thy good word to Thee and the issues of this present meeting, asking Thy blessing on the gospel wherever it has been preached tonight, in the worthy name of Thy Son, who Thou dost delight to honor, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Number 74. May God grant this will be the language of some soul. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I'm going to ask that we take the time to sing all three of these verses in closing this evening. Thank you all again for coming. And remember the prayer meeting.
After the meeting this evening, it's wonderful to see the interest of so many gathering to pray. If you can, join in the prayer meetings. We're very glad to have all who have come to see.